Christmas is about fullness. We fill stockings with gifts, though if you're like my family, those stockings are empty now already. We stuff chicken or turkey to roast. If we're going away, we pack our bags and load up the car. And for many of us, today is going to be about filling ourselves to the gills. Christmas lunch, well, it'll probably start after the service, and although you might try to restrain yourself, you won't be able to go past Sylvia's Christmas cake. And there are other snacks down there too. I've seen some of them. There's some white Christmas. Jacob allegedly had his first bit of white Christmas this morning before church even started, so he started Christmas lunch early. And if you're going to get together with family and friends for lunch, there'll be chips and cheese and dips as lunch is being prepared. And when the main course comes out, whether you're having a European baked meal or an Aussie barbecue with salads, you'll eat and then you'll have seconds and thirds. And if you're like myself, and if someone has generously provided prawns for Christmas lunch, well, even when you're finished, if there are any left over on the buffet table, well, you'll fill up your plate again. And even if you are so full, you can't even imagine peeling another one. You might even bribe a child to do it for you so you can have another succulent prawn. And if your mouth is watering, well, don't get too far ahead of yourself because you have a small breather, won't you? And then dessert comes out. Pudding, trifle, brandy sauce. And some of us are already overwhelmed and ready for a nap just thinking about it. Christmas is a time for feasting, and we feast because we celebrate. And we should, because the birth of Jesus is worth celebrating. It's worth celebrating with fullness because the birth of Jesus is about fullness. Now, in that Bible reading we just had that Anita read for us just before, it's not one of our regular Christmas passages. It's not from one of the biographies of Jesus. It doesn't recount the history of the events around Jesus' birth. It's a letter written some years after Jesus' birth. It was written by a bloke called Paul, who was sent by the risen Lord Jesus to take the good news of God's grace to the world. And as he goes out into the world telling people about Jesus, he explains to them who Jesus is. And he tells people that this Jesus, who'd been born in Bethlehem and grew up in Galilee and travelled around Judea telling people about the kingdom of God, well, this Jesus isn't just a prophet or teacher, but Jesus is the fullness of God. And if you have a look at that passage at the bottom of the left-hand page, it begins by talking about someone called the Son. It's taking us to eternity past. Back before anything or anyone existed, there was God. God, who is Father, Son, and Spirit, the three-in-one God eternally existing in love. This is mind-blowing stuff. But one of the significant things it means is before there was a world, before there was humans, there was love. And out of the overflow of this love, God created everything. If you look at the sentence beginning with the small number 16, it says, "For in him all things were created. All things have been created through him and for him." So what does it say is the focus of creation? It's him, God the Son, the one who was born as Jesus. Everything that exists, exists because of him. It was created through him and for him. In the last few weeks, my wife and daughter have been doing some sewing projects. They've been making placemats and purses and bags, and I know some of you have helped them, and thank you for that. These projects have been made through my wife and daughter. Their hands have got in and cut the fabric and fed it through the sewing machines. Their minds have been inspired to match the patterns and make designs. These crafts have been made through them. But they've been made for other people. They've been made to give as gifts. The universe is like this, but different. It's been made through God the Son. He got his hands dirty making everything which exists. But he didn't make it for us. You are not the center of the universe. I am not the center of the universe. The Son, S-O-N, is the center of the universe. The reason everything exists is that we might see how amazing the Son is. So do you notice the difference? Those sewing projects were done for others. But the universe was created through and for Jesus. Isn't that a bit self-serving? Well, no. Well, this goes back to God being love. God the Father loving God the Son in the fellowship of God the Spirit. If everything is made for him, the one who is eternally love, well, actually, his glory is going to be shown as he shows his love to us. And not only do we see God's love overflowing in what he made, but even more through his coming into the world that he made. So have a look at that sentence in blue, the one with the small number 19 in front of him. For God was pleased to have all his fullness dwell in him. This means that everything Jesus is, God is. Jesus is how we see God's love. What do you think of when you hear the word God? Maybe what comes to mind is an old man with a long beard who lives in the cloud, very wise, but very distant. Maybe it's someone with rippling muscles, strength personified, but also with a short temper, seething with rage, with lightning bolts ready to hurl. Maybe you think of a power or force, something which is out there putting life through the universe. And if you've got the right knowledge or the right abilities or you're born from the right family, you can manipulate or control that force either to do good or to do evil. Maybe that's what you think of when it comes to God. Maybe you think of nothing because you hope God is a figment of people's imaginations. But the Bible says, if you look at Jesus, you're seeing God. God was pleased to have all his fullness dwell in the Son, in Jesus. Jesus stopping the storm with just his words. That's God. Jesus casting out demons, healing the sick. That's God. Jesus sitting down to eat a meal, not with powerful people, not with kings or governors, not with the devoted religious people, but Jesus sitting down to eat with the ones that everyone else ignored, overlooked and rejected. That's God. Jesus looking at a sick woman with compassion. Jesus weeping at the death of his friend. Jesus making time for little children. That's God. The tiny baby born to parents laid in a food bucket for his bed. That's God. As we heard in the video, the same God who created all things made small. Jesus, all through his life, is filled full with all the fullness of God. And that's why the two biographies of Jesus, which record things about his birth, that's why they tell us Jesus was born of a virgin. The baby in a manger is a truly human child. Crying, unlike away in the manger. Pooing, sleeping, very human, like you and me. Yet in a real way, he is different from us. Because this baby's life has come not from Mary and Joseph, but from God, the Holy Spirit. Jesus is stuffed to the brim full of God. And this fullness of God isn't something which happened to Jesus at his baptism. No, the fullness of God dwells in Jesus when he is a baby in Bethlehem, when he's a fetus in Mary's womb. Our God becomes small. Our maker in skin. But why? Why did God do this? Why did God the Father, through the power of God the Spirit, send God the Son? Was it to show that he could? Was it a party trick to impress us? Roll up, roll up. Look at your God made small. No. Our maker took on skin to bring reconciliation and peace. And you can see that in sentence number 20. It says, and through him to reconcile to himself all things, whether things on earth or things in heaven, by making peace through his blood shed on a cross, on the cross. The word reconciliation means there's a problem in the relationship. If you had a fight with Uncle Bob last Christmas, things are going to be tense if there hasn't been reconciliation. The Bible says we humans need to be reconciled to God because there's a problem in our relationship. Even though everything is made through and for the Son, we haven't given him the glory, honour and thanks he deserves. Instead of realising that all of our life should lead to the praise of Jesus, we've turned in on ourselves. We think we're the centre of the universe. Although we have moments of kindness and generosity, we are deeply self-centred. In fact, I know for myself, often the reason I'm kind or generous is for me to get something out of it. Research has been done in America where you have to tip the waiters because they don't get paid enough by their boss. Research says the reason people tip isn't because they want the waiter to have enough money to pay their bills. They do it so they won't feel bad about themselves. Even generosity can be motivated by self-interest. And the Bible calls this selfishness, this self-centeredness, this not giving God the honour, glory and thanks he deserves, that's what the Bible calls sin. And because of our sin, we've made ourselves enemies with God. And the reason why God the Son, our Maker, took on skin, the reason Jesus was filled with all the fullness of God, is because of God's love. God in love did what was needed to make peace, so we can be friends with him. God the Son came, as we just sang, in a way in a manger, to fit us for heaven, to live with him there. Jesus did this by taking the fullness of God into the lowly manger and down to the cruel cross. Jesus became what we are and lived the life we should have lived, a life without sin, always living for others and living to God. And he died the death that we deserve to die. He did this so you and I could be forgiven and reconciled and be fit for eternity in God's presence. Not by being filled full of goodness ourselves, but by trusting in Christ and receiving fullness from him. Today, when you're having Christmas lunch or dinner, maybe you won't choose to be filled full. Maybe you'll have some self-control, but many of us will. Maybe you won't be filled full with food, but with laughter and good times with family or friends. Today, as we are filled full of good things, remember Jesus, who is filled full of God. Jesus who did this, so if we trust in him, if we turn to him, if we receive him, then we can be friends with God. Let's pray. Father God, we thank you that you aren't a distant God, but you are the God who has come near to us in Jesus. Lord Jesus, we praise you for humbling yourself and becoming truly human. Thank you that you did this so that we can know you and be reconciled to you. Lord God, this Christmas, help us to feel the awe of God made flesh, that the fullness of God has been born, lived among us, died and rose again, and you did this for us and for our salvation. Lord God, no matter how we celebrate and remember today, may we know your fullness in Christ. Amen.